Chapter 27, Ahaz Almost Ruined the Kingdom. The accession of Ahaz to the throne brought Isaiah face to face with conditions more appalling than any that had hitherto existed in Judah. Many were now being persuaded to worship heathen deities. Princes were untrue to their trust, false prophets were leading astray, some priests were teaching for hire. Yet the leaders in apostasy still kept up the forms of divine worship and claimed to be the people of God. The prophet Micah declared that sinners in Zion, while blasphemously boasting, "Is not the Lord in the midst of us? No evil shall come upon us," continued to build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with wrong. RSV. Isaiah lifted his voice in stern rebuke, "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices? When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts?" RSV. Inspiration declares, "The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination, how much more, when he bringeth it with a wicked mind." It is not because God is unwilling to forgive that he turns from the transgressor, because the sinner refuses the abundant provisions of grace, God is unable to deliver from sin. "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Isaiah called the attention of the people to the weakness of their position among the nations and showed that this was the result of wickedness in high places. The Lord of hosts, is taking away from Jerusalem and Judah stay and staff, the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the soldier, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the man of rank, the counselor and the skillful magician and the expert in charms. "And I will make boys their princes, and babes shall rule over them. For Jerusalem has stumbled, and Judah has fallen, because their speech and their deeds are against the Lord." RSV. "They which lead thee," the prophet continued, "cause thee to err. Of Ahaz it is written, he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. He even burned his son as an offering, according to the abominable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel." RSV. Great peril for the chosen nation. In the kingdom of Judah the outlook was dark. The forces for evil were multiplying. The prophet Micah was constrained to exclaim, "The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. The best of them is as a briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge." In every age, because of his infinite love, God has borne long with the rebellious and urged them to return to him. Thus it was during the reign of Ahaz. Invitation upon invitation was sent to erring Israel. And as the prophets stood before the people, earnestly exhorting to repentance and reformation, their words bore fruit. Through Micah came the wonderful appeal, "O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants." Throughout probationary time, God's Spirit is entreating men to accept the gift of life. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Satan leads man into sin and then leaves him there, helpless and hopeless, fearing to seek pardon. But God invites, "Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me." In Christ every provision has been made, every encouragement offered. In Judah and Israel many were inquiring, "Shall I come before the Lord, with burnt offerings? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil?" The answer is plain, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." From age to age these counsels were repeated to those who were falling into habits of formalism and of forgetting to show mercy. When Christ himself was approached by a lawyer with the question, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These plain utterances should be received by us as the voice of God. We should lose no opportunity of performing deeds of mercy, of tender forethought and Christian courtesy for the burdened and oppressed. If we can do no more, we may speak words of courage and hope to those who are unacquainted with God. Rich are the promises to those who bring joy and blessing into the lives of others, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted. Then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your desire with good things, and make your bones strong, and you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. RSV. The idolatrous course of Ahaz in the face of the earnest appeals of the prophets could have but one result. The wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing. The kingdom suffered a rapid decline, and its very existence was soon imperiled by invading armies. Rezin king of Syria and Pekah son of Remaliah king of Israel came up to Jerusalem to war. Had Ahaz and the men of his realm been true servants of the Most High, they would have had no fear of so unnatural an alliance as had been formed against them. But stricken with a nameless dread of the judgments of an offended God, the heart of the king and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. RSV. In this crisis the word of the Lord came to Isaiah to meet the trembling king and say, "Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah, have taken evil counsel against thee, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall come to pass." Well would it have been for Judah had Ahaz received this message as from heaven. But choosing to lean on the arm of flesh, he sought help from the heathen. In desperation he sent word to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, "I am thy servant and thy son, come up, and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria, and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me." The request was accompanied by a rich present from the king's treasure and the temple storehouse. The help was sent and King Ahaz was given temporary relief, but at what a cost to Judah! Assyria soon threatened to overflow and spoil Judah. Ahaz and his unhappy subjects were now harassed by the fear of falling completely into the hands of the cruel Assyrians. The Lord brought Judah low because of continued transgression. In this time of chastisement, instead of repenting, Ahaz trespassed yet more against the Lord, for he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus. Because the gods of the kings of Syria help them, he said, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. As the apostate king neared the end of his reign, he caused the doors of the temple to be closed. No longer were offerings made for the sins of the people. Deserting the house of God and locking its doors, the inhabitants of the godless city boldly worshipped heathen deities on the street corners throughout Jerusalem. Heathenism had seemingly triumphed. But in Judah there dwelt some who maintained their allegiance to Jehovah. To these Isaiah and Micah looked in hope as they surveyed the ruin wrought during the last years of Ahaz. Their sanctuary was closed, but the faithful ones were assured, "God is with us. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and he shall be for a sanctuary."